This episode originally aired in July earlier this year. It's all about what to do step by step when facing a high-stress situation to walk away victorious. Enjoy. You are now listening to Productivity Boss Moves with Robert Price. For more, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO. Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, Productivity Coach Robert Price, and I'm here with my amazingly joyful, wonderful co-host and friend, Deborah Learns. What's going on, Deborah? How's everything?
Hello, hello. Great morning, great morning. I'm so excited to be here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, man, just a little bit about Deborah. Deborah is a wellness extraordinaire. She's on her journey writing, you know, her book. The title is unknown yet, but we're working on that. But Deborah is just phenomenal. She's actually one of my first productivity coaching clients. So this is really exciting just to see the growth in Deborah and, you know, where she has gone to this point, and that she would agree to co-host this podcast with me. So this is just the beginning for her, and you're going to hear a lot more about Deborah moving forward. So, let's hop in.
Yes.
So today we're talking about how to minimize stress and take care of yourself. And so, you know, it's a busy world. There's a lot of things going on. It's, you know, whether you're a mom, a parent, a sister, a brother, husband, wife, whatever you are, a student, it's just a lot. Going on a lot on social media, you know, so many different, you know, things to grab our attention. And it just creates this level of awareness of people's highlights that, you know, can make you feel maybe insecure, just stressed out about where you are in life and, you know, how to get to where you want to go. So I'm really excited about this episode because I'm actually going to tackle a really stressful time in my life and walk you guys through. This actually happened when I was in undergrad, back in college, and I'm going to walk you guys through that experience and, of course, give you the acronym for this week, the points that'll weave through the story. So, but before we do that, we always have this important business to take care of before we jump into the the content. But we're talking about the top three here, the top three, what you can't, these three things you cannot live without in this category. So this week, top three, I'm thinking about the summertime. I'm still thinking about outdoor activities, barbecues, things of that nature. So I want to know from you, what are your top three barbecue meats?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So my all-time favorite, I am a cheap date, I have to admit. Hot dogs. I love me a hot dog on the grill. So that's my
hot
number,
dogs, okay.
My number one. I'd say number two would be a hamburger.
Okay.
And number three would be, I believe, chicken. I think chicken. Although ribs
okay.
are up
barbecue
there
sauce or no, just grilled chicken, no barbecue sauce or nothing like that?
Oh, I do want barbecue sauce on the chicken.
You gotta have, okay,
yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. So our list is pretty similar, but I'm going to start mine off with the barbecue chicken, because if I didn't have anything else, I would need to have that there, the barbecue chicken. I have ribs on mine. The ribs, and number three would be hamburgers. We disagree on the hot dogs. Yeah, I could do without that.
Okay.
I just told my wife a couple of weeks ago, I said, I'm done with the, because it's like the warm up. Whenever you go to a barbecue, usually they're like, the hot dogs are done. That's always first. And it's like, you can grab a couple hot dogs while you wait for everything else. And I'm like, look, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just going to feast on what I want to feast on.
Right.
The hot dogs, y'all can have it, you know. But, yeah, but anyways, I know you had talked about before with the breakfast cereals, you wanted to defend Fruit Loops a little bit, but
I did,
because I had, you know, I went in pretty bad on it, so you gave me a call and chewed me out about it. What do you want to say about
Fruit Loops?
Oh my
goodness, Fruit Loops! That's my all-time favorite. My all-time favorite. And you were like, oh, but
okay,
the milk, the residue in the milk. And I'm like, yeah, oh, but I love Fruit Loops. So, yes, I'm defending Fruit Loops.
So do you look like it. So you do away with the milk.
Oh, yeah.
Right after. Or
afterwards,
do you drink it?
I just toss it up and drink it.
Yes. Yeah, oh, you do drink
I
it.
I do.
Oh, okay. And you like that milk. Okay.
I do, but it has been so long since I've had some Fruit Loops.
Right.
But it's
been
favorite.
A long time. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I had to give you an opportunity to defend yourself on that, cuz you seem pretty passionate about that. but let's jump in.
Yes, I'm excited.
Okay. So, again, we're talking about how to minimize stress and take care of yourself, and the acronym for this week is CARE. So that's very fitting.
Yes, it is.
To what we're talking about. But the first thing you're gonna do in this acronym is come to terms.
Okay.
So again, I said I'm going to share a story with you guys of what happened to me back in college. So I'll get into that. But that's the first thing you're going to do. Come to terms. So here's what happened. I was a film major in college. And so I was working on my senior thesis film. Like, this is the biggest project that you work on throughout your time. And I've been preparing it for about 2 years to that point, because they set your courses up in a way where you can, you know, spend that amount of time on it. And my bag was stolen. Like, I want to say about a week or so before we had to show our final films. So, you know, my bag is stolen. That's not very stressful. But when you account for the fact that my laptop was in that bag, my external hard drive with all of the work I had done up until that point was in that bag. And yeah, those are the main things. There's some other things, but those are the main things relating to the, you know, the film project. And so, with so little time left before we had to show our projects, and this was before the cloud and all of that stuff that backs up your stuff, so it was literally that drive or nothing for me. And so it just I really just fell apart, because I'm like, what am I gonna do? I need to have at least a certain GPA to get into grad school, which I had done from a what do they call that? Conditional basis. You know, they accepted me with some conditions. So that was part of the conditions. My, you know, GPA needed to be a certain level. And excuse me. So it was really stressful. And I was sitting on a bench just to cut to the chase, I was sitting on a bench on campus, and all of a sudden, I receive a phone call from my uncle. And he talks to me, and he says, yeah, they told me what happened. And I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said to me, he said, you know, and just in his ignorance, he said to me, so, I mean, so you have the, you're going to get the actors together, you're going to get the shoot, like, you know what you want to do. So just get the people in place to do it so you can still produce it. And I'm like, I don't have to do that. Because once I thought about it, I did a documentary. And so back then we recorded, you know, some of us still recorded on tapes. We didn't have it on the card. So I had all the tapes in another bag of what I had, you know, the work I had recorded. So anyways, I'm like, man, this guy is confident that I can get a whole thing from scratch together in a week. Here I am. I'm like, you know, sweating bullets and stressed out. And all I have to do, I mean, I have the tapes already where I don't have to go back and shoot that far back. So anyways, he made me think about legitimately what was in front of me step by step. He made me come to terms with where I was. So without that call, I couldn't do that. So what I'm saying to you is whatever's causing you stress, whatever area of your life is causing you stress. Sometimes we run from it thinking that that's going to eventually absolve the issue. But excuse me, but you have to come to terms with it. So just sitting down and saying, hey, this is what it is. The first thing that the doctor needs to know in order to fix your problem when you go to the hospital is what's wrong. So you have to sit down and say, hey, here's where I'm at. Because what you might realize is it's not as bad as you thought it was before you actually sat down and measured that thing the way my uncle was able to help me do in this situation.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. I think sometimes we delay coming to terms when actually when we do sit down and we do assess that situation, we do end up realizing, you know what, it really wasn't as bad as I thought it was by sitting right down and, like you say, coming to terms. So excellent. Right. Oh, I like that one.
yeah. You gotta come to terms, you know, come to terms with it. So that's number one. A good exercise to do, actually, if you think about, there's these core four categories that I talk about, your being, your body, your business, and your balance. And just to briefly, not to go into it, but your being is your spiritual, mental, emotional development. Your body is your physical development. Business is your, you know, personal finance, entrepreneurial work, related development. And then your balance is your, you know, family life and recreational activities, that area. So relationship development. So think of each of those areas and really develop a number for each area so you can be able to measure, okay, and within these four areas, here's where I see myself, you know, kind of have that come to terms, you know, moment. That's an exercise that you can do just to measure, you know, where you're at.
Got you. Would you say, so when we talk about coming to terms, you know, we have that situation, using your situation of, you know, your bag being stolen and, you know, you have to get this project done.
Right.
How soon, you know, usually when we have something happen, sometimes, you know, we have to have our I think of a tantrum, you know, you're being a 2-year-old, you know, how we would have a tantrum sometimes for some of us. It's like, you just can't rationalize. You can't, you know, how do you come to terms with that? Like, how soon after, you know, you get that news? Like, you know, we're always taught to, you need to take action. So to me, it sounds like, you know what? Give yourself a moment, take a few deep breaths, but now we need to take time to come to terms. So what would you say there?
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? So I think what a lot of people do wrong in situations that's causing them a lot of stress is they isolate themselves, like I was doing while I was on campus sitting on that bench. I was isolating myself. No friends were around. I just really wanted to go into a cubbyhole because, you know, I just didn't know where to begin or where to start, what to do. And it actually took my uncle calling me. So a lot of times it will take another person. So what I'm saying is don't isolate yourself due to you may be feeling embarrassed about, you know, whatever's going on or whatever the case may be. Don't isolate yourself, because it's in you not isolating yourself that you're able to gain help to come to terms. Right. So I don't necessarily think a lot of times you can actually come to terms on your own. So even like this podcast, if you're listening to this podcast, you're surrounding yourself with information, right? And I just gave you an exercise to do to measure, okay, here's where I am in each of these, you know, places in my life. And that's the thing that's going to help you come to terms. I don't think we just come to terms by walking around and just, you know, we do it ourselves. You know, maybe you can do that, but typically it takes another person. It takes someone to show you, hey, here's a blind spot that I see, but here's how you can address that.
Excellent. Excellent point. Excellent point.
All right. So we're going to go on to number 2, which is apply what you know. So after my uncle gave me that speech of, oh, man, you got this. You got the tapes. You got this figured out. And I'm like, wow, that's that's some heavy confidence for some work that I put in for 2 years. You think I can put this together in a week? But anyways, I knew I didn't have time to waste. I knew if I was going to get this done in a week, literally there was nothing else that I can focus on. And I had to lock in on, I couldn't play. I had to lock in on every single lesson that I learned in my, you know, time as a film student. And so one of the key lessons that I learned was, you know, especially in documentary film, was to transcribe your work, right? And I don't even know if the transcription platform was, I don't know there's a lot of programs where you can transcribe things now, but I don't know that it was that easy to access at that time. Maybe it was, I just didn't know. So I actually went through and transcribed all of the tapes that I had from the recordings that I had myself, because I knew if I could write everything out, and I can, that's a note right there. You can write everything out. But if I can write everything out and I can know exactly where certain dialogue was throughout the process, then it was going to be a lot easier for me to edit, because I could go right to stuff versus, you know, just kind of meandering through like I was doing when I had 2 years to do it, you know. And so this caused me to really be at my best in a way due to the time constraints, that if I had more time to do it, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have. So it's a note of, in terms of Parkinson's law, where you know, it talks about Parkinson talks about how work expands to the time that we have to complete it. And so based on me having a couple of years to do it, I believe I was operating like that. But now that I have this week to do it, I'm operating like that, right? Like, absolutely. I only have a week to do it. And so because of that, I knew I had to line everything up. So I, you know, figured out the studio schedule. I lined up, you know, the perfect times where I had to be in the studio, and also, you know, just the transcriptions and everything and my tapes. I had to line everything up. So that was my next step. Apply what you know. So a lot of us are struggling in areas and we're stressed out in areas. And, you know, there's things that we know to do in that area that we're just not doing. Right. So sometimes it's as simple as, at least the first step is, it's as simple as applying just what you know. There's been a lot of things shared on this podcast that we talked about as far as your bedtime routine, your morning routine, your workflow routine. I mean, just a number of different, you know, principles and things. And, you know, if you're not applying not just those, but whatever you're learning, if you're not applying the things that you know, and you're stressed out in that area, you know, it's pretty simple. What's going on? You know, you have the answers, you're just not applying them. So that was step two. Apply what you know. So you have any thoughts on that area?
I mean, these steps are so on point. I would agree, applying what you know, because I do believe we have that in us. Sometimes I don't think we give ourselves enough credit, and we don't realize that we have it in us, and that it just sometimes it's a matter of taking a moment to self-reflect and really look at that that concern or issue or problem that you're having objectively. I think that's the key word there, is looking at it objectively. And I can speak to this because for me, sometimes I look at things emotionally, and you have to take the emotion out of it. So again, when you look at it objectively, applying what I know, it's like, oh, you know, I had that in me. I could do that.
Right. So, I know that. Right. Yeah. And that, you know, kind of going back to my uncle, once he said what he said, it woke me up to myself in a way that, you know, I was hiding from myself in terms of, oh, I guess I can do this. I guess I do have this. I guess I do know that, you know. So once I got to that point, applying what I know was, you know, it was the natural next step. So,
and I think it also goes back to your first step. You talked about do not isolate yourself, you know. So in applying what I know, you know, when I've had that moment to apply what I believe I know, I may even have to go back to, you know, ask someone, you know, and it's okay to ask. It's okay to, you know, get someone else to help you, because they may be that objectivity that you need.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. So definitely.
Applying what you know. Love it. Love it.
Yes. So number three is rest and restore. And going back to this time, I remember it was like a 7 straight day period where all I did was I went to sleep. So I got, you know, whatever the amount of sleep I needed. I went to sleep. I ate. And then I went back to the lab for as long as I could take it. And then I went back and went to sleep. Ate, went back to the lab. Like, I literally did that for seven straight days, and that's all I did. And the significance of that is I knew that in order for me to be effective, even though I had to put the pedal to the metal on this process, I knew in order to be effective, I needed to have proper rest. And I needed to give myself the proper nutrition in order to to have the endurance to last through this process. So some people, you know, they subscribe to the school of, you know, just not sleeping or, you know, not eating. Just you're just so focused on what you're doing that you don't do those things. But there's no way I would have been able to last through this process and be as effective as I was in doing this project had I not done that. So that's definitely, you know, the next step in the process. You know, you rest and restore. Like, you don't, you put your pedal to the metal, but you don't go over the speed limit, right? So if the speed limit is 65, you go the speed limit because it's there. Or, you know, for some people like me, I don't know if I want to put this on wax. Could be some troopers, state troopers listening in. But, you know, I just kind of know the states, you know. Hey, this state lets you go a little like 10 over, you know, whatever the case may be. So you kind of play with that. But you don't go beyond that. So that's a limit in and of itself right there, right? So you don't go beyond that. And it's the same thing. Once you come to terms and you apply what you know, okay, in order to carry this out, in order to execute this, here's the time frame that I'm working with, and here's the rest that I need. So definitely prioritizing that and putting that into play. As stressful as a time as that was, by me prioritizing that, it gave me the strength I needed to get through.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd like you to share, because you and I've had many conversations about this, because I'm pretty passionate about the rest and restoring, because we listen to a lot of motivation, and a lot of times they talk about how, you know, you've got to go beast mode and keep going. But I think we forget that we are human and it's necessary for us to rest. So we talk about how when you don't get sleep, what that means. You know what I mean? Like, it's torture. Sharing that story, how when you don't get sleep is torture.
Yeah. We talked about that in the Japanese war camps. I believe this was maybe on the second episode. We talked about, you know, in certain Japanese war camps, sleep was the first form of torture they used for the prisoners they had to reveal information. That was the first thing. You know, there was a number of things that they did, but taking away these individuals' sleep was the first thing that they did. And I just like to address what you said in this way. I think, you know, a lot of the motivation and things we listen to get a bad rap from this standpoint, you know, just in specifically related to this point, from the standpoint that part of going beast mode is going to bed when you know you're supposed to go to bed in order to be effective.
Good point.
Right. If you know, huh?
I say excellent point. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So if you know what you need to do to be at your highest peak, then you doing that is part of going beast mode. You staying up and playing games or watching movies or, you know, just doing whatever that's not helping you get to where you are looking to go, then that's not going beast mode. You losing sleep, and there's people that, you know, there's people that are up working on books, you know, working on their businesses and things of that nature. But I would bargain to say that majority of the people who are staying up and quote unquote going beast mode or playing around. And it's just like Parkinson's law. If you're staying up till 1 or 2, you may have not needed to stay up that time. You may have just given yourself that amount of time to get it done. But if you only gave yourself to 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, you might have been able to figure it out in that window.
Gotcha.
Because your work expands to the time you have to do it.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I really love this rest and restore. I've been reading Arianna Huffington's The Sleep Revolution, and one of her things, you know, she's was the founder of the Huffington Post, and right now her stage in her life that she's pretty passionate about the need to get more sleep, because we live in a society now where, I mean, we are so connected and talking about different things that we have to do in order to get the proper sleep, you know, our mobile devices, and even Mel Robbins talks about this, putting them in a drawer so that the light doesn't wake you up, and getting those alerts, putting them on do not disturb. So yeah, this is so important as we think about care. So yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
You're dropping some nuggets, yeah. Robert.
Yeah. I mean, I know my phone is on do not disturb when I go to sleep. And it's funny because, so a lot of people, the problem that they have in this area is, you know, what if an emergency happens, right? Or what if, you know, they've been doing things a certain way for so long in terms of allowing people to contact them in the middle of the night, or if a friend really needs to talk, they can just call them whenever. But I, maybe for a couple years now, or at least a year and a half now, I've been putting my phone on do not disturb when I, you know, when I'm asleep, when it's time for bed. And the iPhone is beautiful. It has this bedtime, you know, application where you can just, you know, put in your bedtime, and immediately when that time comes, it puts your phone on do not disturb. And then the sweet morning alarm goes off. Not an emergency sounding alarm,
right?
But a sweet morning sound alarm comes on when it's time for me to, you know, to wake up. But in that, like my mom per se, she would call me and be like, I called, but it didn't go through, you know, initially when I started doing that. But as people started to get used to my pattern, now people will even say, oh, yeah, I was going to call you, but it was this time. So I just called you the next day because I know during that time you're asleep. So it's just like something as simple as that. Like I told you before, like we teach people how to interact with us.
Yes.
So something as simple as that, you're thinking that you might be thinking, oh, this is a big deal. I need to be available. But I'm in a room with my wife and my son. He's in another room where I can hear him. And if something goes down, you know, I'll find out about it, you know, when I wake up. It's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I think we have to trust that. You know, whether you believe in God or the universe, whatever you believe, I think you just have to trust that if it's meant for you to know, something will wake you up. Something will, get you where you like, oh, you know what? Maybe I do need to check. I've had to do that because I've turned off a lot of alerts on my phone because, you know, like news alerts and everything, because I find that they are distracting. So I do believe if it's something that you're meant to know, you will find out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And how many really, 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 really important things have you found out in the middle of the night in your life?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot. Yeah, you know, so.
If anything, it interrupts your rest.
Right. It's just stuff that interrupts your rest, but it's not necessarily something that can't wait till the morning.
Exactly.
Because we used to have this, when I worked in higher education, we had this email that we would send, the auto email that we would send to people when we were on vacation or at a conference or something that would say, you know, I'm out of the office from this time to this time. I'll be back on this date. If it's an emergency, call, you know, campus police, 911 or whatever. And so it's the same thing with our friends or with whoever. If it can't wait till the morning, if it's that important, you know, hey, you always got 911.
Exactly.
And then we can talk about it tomorrow when I wake up.
Exactly.
So So, that's number three. And that's something it's unbelievable that I did that, because I didn't really value rest and restoration and all of that. Like when I was that age, like I wasn't thinking like that. But immediately when this situation kicked in gear, like I knew innately, boom, I have to do this. So, you know, it's in you. You just got to, you know, follow through on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love and that so, step.
Yeah. Number four is empty the bucket. So, empty the bucket. So empty the bucket. Here's what that means. Literally, you heard me say it. Literally, for 7 days straight, all I did was sleep, restore myself by the nutrition I took in, and go to the lab and be in there until I couldn't hold my eyes open anymore. Like, literally, that's what I did for 7 straight days. I was locked in, I was focused on it, and, you know, I emptied the bucket on this project and essentially knocked it out of the park. And so here's the reward for doing these things, coming to terms with whatever stressing you out, right? Coming to terms with it, applying what you know, resting and restoring yourself. And then emptying the bucket. Here's the reward. We had two different film festivals. So one film festival was on campus. It was on a Tuesday. And then we had another film festival that was on a Friday at a local theater. So that one was like really big as far as that local community was concerned. But anyways, the one on Tuesday, that's the one that I wanted to have it ready for, because I knew it was on campus. A lot of people were going to be there. And so much to my professor's surprise, I showed up with my film ready to go. Because one part of the stories I didn't share is I went to my, you know, professor and told them what happened. And she told me, you know, well, what you showed already is enough for you to get a C in the course. Because we had to show our work, you know, throughout the semester to, you know, in terms of our progress. So she said, what you've shown already is enough to get a C. And I knew in order to get the grads, because this was a 10 credit course. This wasn't a, you know, 1, 2, 3 credit course. This was 10 credits. That was going to shake my GPA, getting a C in a 10 credit course. So I knew I couldn't accept that, especially after my uncle had talked to me and I got into this mode. I'm like, I got to go for it. I got this time. I'm going to do it. So I showed up right as the film festival was starting. Now, mind you, I came right from the lab where I was working on the project to go back to my place, shower up, get dressed, and go to the festival. And so I handed the, matter of fact, I didn't even talk to my professors. I went into the back and gave it to the person who was rotating the movies in and out. Like, they were the person that were playing the movies. And played it. Eventually it got played. They didn't even know I was there. And honestly, you know, some of my classmates shared with me, they were like, man, I got chills watching that. And I created a documentary on the N-word. There was some stuff that happened on campus that kind of really caused some uproar about this particular subject matter. So I capitalized that on that as far as the documentary I did. But yeah, they said they got chills, and the film ended up being one of the top three film chosen in my senior class to be played at a film festival in New Zealand.
Wow.
And yeah, ooh, just thinking about it, it's just crazy because that was not supposed to happen, not based on that circumstance. And I even want to speak into your life, who's listening to this. It's not supposed to happen. Like, you're not supposed to be able to come back with how many points you're down right now. You're not, man, whew. You're not supposed to be able to come back. But I'm telling you, if you would just give yourself care, if you would come to terms, you apply what you know, if you would rest and restore, if you would empty the bucket, victory is yours. I'm telling you, and it's no feeling like it. Once I reached this point, it was just, it was a phenomenal feeling. And I had my family and everybody come out. And there's actually, the film is still online to this day. It's on Vimeo. I actually put a link to it in the show notes so you can see what I'm talking about. I'm going to show my work in this respect. But yeah, it was a game changer to go through that. And I realized I learned a life lesson through this process. And what I learned was, you think about the best way to do things before you have to think about the best way to do them.
Mm.
So I, you know, everything that I did in that week to efficiently edit and produce what I was able to produce, I could have done that throughout the 2-year process. But it took the stress of a situation that I was in to be able to bring that out of me. And so I'm challenging you to just carry that attitude through life. What's the best way for me to get this done and focus on doing that to be more efficient and more productive? But that's empty the bucket, like literally leave it all on the floor, on the court, however you want to say it. But that's it.
And when you say empty the bucket, one thing for me that's coming to mind, in your situation, it looks like you put everything else on hold. All the focus went to, I have to get this accomplished. So is that what empty the bucket is part of as well?
Yeah, it's part of it. Like my fam, like, I'm going to tell you, like, no, everybody knew I was unavailable for this week. My mom, actually, Mother's Day happened during this time. My mom literally drove to campus and, you know, I was able to give her a hug and a kiss. But, you know what I mean? Yeah. That was pretty much it. Like, that's all I could do because I was so locked in. I couldn't get it, you know, haircut or nothing. My mother saw me and she was like, "Woo, boy, you look like you going through it." And I was like, "Ma, you know, it's rough." But I was so locked in, I wasn't concerned about that. I wasn't concerned about, you know, what I look like or what I, you know, texting or calling or social media or anything. I was just locked into getting this done. And at that time, social media just really was getting its legs, so it wasn't as big as it is now. So that wasn't a major, you know, distraction for me. But that's a word for somebody. Like, social media will be there when you come back. If you need to write your book, this is something for somebody. If you need to write your book, why don't you... Maybe you might need to take a break from social media. Mm-hmm. Maybe you might need to just let that be where it's at for right now. Or whatever you need to do. I'm just saying, in order to empty the bucket, you have to lock in. You have to focus solely on that thing. Or else you're not going to be able to do it. I literally finished my the rendering and everything. The disc was ready at 6 p.m. I had enough time to go back to my room, shower up, get ready, and go to the festival that started at 7 p.m. Literally, I finished just in enough time to be able to have my film played there. If I had done anything, if I had, you know, let any distractions get in my way, I wouldn't have made it. Like, I finished it just in the nick of time. And it was just solely based on locking in completely.
Got you. Yeah, I think that, you know, and I think I'm sure all of us can think on some experiences or things that we have to do, whether it's with work or some personal project that you're doing, that we do have to lock in and really just be focused that we're going to get this done. So, yeah, empty the bucket. I like that.
And I've talked about it several times before, like what distractions do I need to eliminate, and then eliminate them? You know, make a list of the distractions you need to eliminate and eliminate them.
Yes.
Yeah. Empty the bucket. Yeah. So we're going to move to the boss move of the week, productivity boss move of the week.
Oh, we are super excited. Can't wait to see what the productivity boss move of the week is.
Yeah. So I realized before I do that, I realized that there, you know, usually I have a couple of resources that you can take away, you know, from the episode. So I want to give you a couple of things right now. If you're like, you're looking at your life and some daunting, you know, things that are in front of you. And so let's say it's an area of finance. Finance is a strong area for a lot of people in terms of stress, what causes stress. You know, we know that's one of the top reasons why marriages part ways, and, you know, just reasons why people commit suicide and just different things. You know, finances is a huge stressor. So one of the resources that my wife and I used in order to help us come to terms is mint.com. Mint is an app where you could literally see your entire financial picture in one place. So that's going to help you lay it all out and then, you know, figure out, okay, how I'm going to complete these steps. So mint.com is there for that. But then also, if you know, we talked about health and fitness, and this app that I used, I was trying to, for some reason, when I got my first professional position, they gave us a meal plan and all this stuff that we can buy on campus. Uh-huh. And so I gained about 20, 25 pounds in this position. And, you know, this application, along with Rochelle T. Parks, who has worked with both of us,
yes,
in some capacity. She exposed us to this app called MyFitnessPal. And that app, you know, in terms of if your health and fitness is a major stressor for you, you know, MyFitnessPal, that's an application you can use to come to terms in that area.
Yes, it is definitely a great one.
Yeah, because if you don't have enough energy, you know, if you don't have enough, if you don't have enough energy to get your body moving, you're hurting too much, you're in too much pain, like you can't accomplish any of your goals because you're just so focused on, how do I get through this, you know? And then also if it's your personal life with marriage or relationships, the five love languages is a great resource as well, to help you and your, you know, spouse get on the same page, or you and family members. It doesn't have to be a spousal thing. It could be someone, you know, other business partners, to help you guys get on the same page.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then I want to mention this resource, for spiritual growth. You know, sometimes that's an overwhelming thing for people. I actually wrote a book called The Basics, Everyday Life in Christ. And this, if that's an area that you, you know, want to develop, you know, that's another resource that I'll put in the show notes as well to help simplify that process for you.
Awesome. Awesome. One quick question, Robert, when you said mint.com, is that mint.com?
mint.com. Gotcha. Correct. Awesome. Mint.com. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent resources. So we have no excuses now not to overcome.
Yeah. So
problems.
Now you got your measurement tools.
Absolutely.
You got your measurement tools to come to terms practically. You know, now this is not just a big idea thing. I always want to give you practical tools that you can walk away with and apply immediately. So, you know, definitely.
And all of those, you know, help take us those take heart. Better care of ourselves, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so here is the boss move of the week.
All right, all right. Let's go.
I want you to ask yourself, what area in my life is causing me the most stress right now? Again, what area in my life is causing me the most stress right now? And then I want you to ask yourself, how can I come to terms in this area? Given the context of what we talked about, coming to terms means, how can I come to terms in this area? And then the next thing is just to do it. So what area in my life is causing me the most stress right now? How can I come to terms with this area and do it?
Got you.
Remember, it's not enough to dream. We must do something about it. Have a productive week.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Productivity Boss Moves. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or just want to say hello, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO. If you haven't done so already, please take a minute and leave a quick rating and review of this show on Apple Podcasts. It will help me to keep delivering life-changing information for you every week.